I don't know that we've seen an administration, a federal government, move as fast as we've seen with the first 7 months of Donald Trump's second term. I'm Bill Mick. Welcome to this edition of the Florida Roundtable from the Florida News Network. From the Department of Government Efficiency to immigration, from tariffs and tax rates to the Big Beautiful Bill and international relations, the moves in these last 7 months have been fast and impactful. Joining us to discuss these events and more, as well as their impact on America, is first-term Congressman Mike Herodopoulos from Florida's 8th Congressional District. Mike's a historian and a professor by trade, is no stranger to politics. He's a former Florida House and Senate member, and he served as Florida's Senate President. Mike Herodopoulos with us this week on the Florida Roundtable. We're glad you are as well, and we'll talk to you in moments here on the Florida News Network.
Great deals are now Bloom Unit Quality Green Specialists. Featuring a wide variety of fancy trees, ornamentals, herbs, and flowers, including over 50 varieties of fruit and plants, with sustainable organic nursery products and top quality soil testing. Experience a world of beauty at Quality Green. Open 9 to 4 daily at 335 West Michigan Avenue in DeLand. Online at qualitygreenspecialist.com. Quality Green Specialists, top quality plants, sustainable gardening products, friendly expert advice.
I love the ocean.
Me, I love a slow winding river.
I love the lake, slick as glass.
But nothing compares to what you love inside the boat.
My family.
My child.
My best friend from first grade.
If you're behind the wheel of a boat, pay attention. That way your favorite water will always be safe water. Learn more about boating safety at myfwc.com. Brought to you by the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission.
Do you have an invention idea but don't know what to do next? Call InventHelp today. We have representatives nationwide who will explain the InventHelp process step by step. Over 10,000 patents have been secured through InventHelp's patent referral services. The InventHelp data bank includes thousands of companies who have agreed to review new ideas. We've been helping inventors since 1984. Let's help you next. Get started today.
Call us for free information at 1-800-558-5497. Again, 1-800-558-5497.
Scorching hot car interiors can cause devastating injuries or worse in just a matter of minutes. Take extra care in making sure your whole family is out of the car before leaving. Put your purse, wallet, or phone in the back seat as a reminder. If you see a child or pet locked in a car, call 911 immediately. Remember, there's no excuse for leaving anyone behind. Go to flhsmv.gov/child safety for more info. That's flhsmv.gov. A message from the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles.
Glad you're along with us this weekend on the Florida Roundtable. I'm Bill Mick. Joining me this week for the show is Congressional Representative Mike Herodopoulos out of Florida's 8th District, representing the Space Coast there in Washington for us. Mike, thank you for taking the time. It's good to have you along here.
Thank you, Bill. Great to be here.
You're not new to politics. You served in the Florida House. You served in the Florida Senate. You served as Florida Senate, bailed out of that elected world for a while, and now you find yourself last November elected to Congress as Bill Posey had retired from that seat. And let's talk about that transition from being a state lawmaker, doing the work you did in the interim, and now being in Congress in Washington, D.C. It's got to be exciting, number one.
It is. It's been an amazing first 8 months in Washington, D.C. I think the best thing that's happened is we made a set of promises on the border, on tax policy, gaining respect again overseas, making sure that we move in the right direction as a country, trying to make it more affordable, becoming energy independent. All those things are happening the first 8 months. Not everyone's happy about it, of course, but it's been a remarkable thing. I've loved the opportunity to serve. As you know, I served in the House and Senate, of course, Senate President as well. But it is a big change being in Washington versus Tallahassee. And the most broad way I can say it is this way. One is that, of course, you have this threshold in Washington where you need 60 votes to get things done in the Senate to actually pass a law.
Which can halt a lot of the work that comes out of the House.
100%. And we're frustrated by that. But that said, the biggest change that people have asked about. When I was in the Senate, you would serve on four or five committees. So you'd see the bills as they work their way through the process, whether it be on taxation, on spending, whether it be on ag policy, for that matter, tax policy, all these things. But when you're in Washington, you're more siloed. You serve in a couple of committees, and that's where you spend most of your time. And so a lot of the bills, the first time you actually see them on a vote or in depth, unless a person comes by your office to talk about, is on the floor. You're voting up or down on that bill. So I serve on the Financial Services Committee. We oversee the Fed. We oversee the stock market. We oversee banks, insurance companies, now crypto, or the blockchain, as they call it today. We oversee all of that. That's where the vast part of my time is spent. I also chair the Space Committee, and of course, I deal with those issues. So I don't see the Medicaid issue as it goes through the Energy and Commerce Committee. I don't see the tax policies go through Ways and Means. I don't see the ag policy, for that matter, as they work through
So how do you stay up on it and know this is the way I've got to go on this particular bill, or here are issues that I have with it?
Well, there's one. The reality is you have to have confidence in your fellow members that they're doing their job in committee. And if there's an issue that directly impacts my district, I'm going to go talk to those committee members and make sure, one, they know my opinion or concerns, and two, that I'm getting that information flow. Plus, I'm blessed with, a staff of like 17 people, and their job is to specifically look at those committees I don't serve on and make sure I'm well-informed before a vote may or may not happen. And we're very much aware of what bills are making its way through the process, mm-hmm. so that we know, be prepared for it, so we can tell the leadership, or the speaker in this case, hey, we're going to vote up or down on a particular issue.
Well, you mentioned that you're on the Financial Services Committee, and oversight of the Fed is part of that. Some battling going on between the president and the Fed chairman, interest rates being a key issue here. What's your role in Congress there, and what are you seeing happen?
Well, we have oversight primarily there, and we really called Powell to the carpet, the head of the Fed, and saying, how are you not reducing interest rates when you see the rest of the world doing that? And it's a bottom line issue to folks. In the area that I live in, the average house is $550,000. And a 3% interest rate versus a 7% interest rate is $1,200 a month.
Wow.
And a 30-year mortgage. So we called him out. I asked him specific questions, and we said, what are you doing here or there? And we've also gotten the oversight, the way they spend their money. And more recently, you've also seen that there's a thing called the CFPB. This is a thing that was created by Elizabeth Warren many years ago. And it's just another layer of bureaucracy. We're trying to reduce or eliminate those programs because the redundancy of bureaucracies eventually cause higher prices because you're paying for all that overhead.
Sure.
And so we're moving in the right direction there. And I think you're going to see finally a reduction in the interest rates. You saw the big move on Friday where the market really spiked because they finally see that those interest rates are going to come down so we can make bigger investments.
That's fantastic. Tariffs have any role in what you're doing on that committee?
Well, not so much. That's more the tax policy. At this point, of course, it's a presidential decision. As you know, he's using his powers as the chief executive. That's not a law we pass in these tariffs.
Right.
But he has said, look, I'm what I call a free trader. The lower rates we have, the better. But right now, we need fair trade. I'm sure we'll get into that.
Very good. Mike Haridopoulos with us throughout the day here on the Florida Roundtable from the Florida News Network. Find our podcasts at BillMick.com.
You work hard to provide a better life for your family. The only problem is that you now have a tax bill that you can't afford to pay. The IRS is now threatening to garnish your wages and put a levy on your bank account. You can't ignore the IRS. They won't go away on their own. You need help, and you need it now. Call the tax pros at United Tax Fix today. Call 800-762-2768. That's 800-762-2768.
Florida pedestrians, be aware. Watch out for traffic. Always walk on the sidewalk if there is one. If no sidewalks are present, walk against the direction of traffic. Cross the roadway where pedestrians are expected. Wear bright colors, carry a flashlight, and follow pedestrian signs and signals. And remember, look out before you step out. Learn more at flhsmv.gov/child safety. A message from the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles.
Hello, I'm Hector Elizondo, Emmy Award-winning actor, and I want to talk to you about getting older. My body hurts, my joints ache, and sometimes I forget.
I forget that doing all your own scenes for a movie isn't always the best decision. Especially when you're galloping side saddle down a countryside road on a horse named Archibello, who seems to have only one speed, high. And pulling on his reins only seems to encourage him to go even faster. So, of course, my body hurts and my joints ache, but it's not because of my age. It's because I'm living my life. Ho-ho, Archibello!
Don't let life pass you by. Take care of your brain health. It may just help you stay on top of your game.
As soon as this scene wraps, I'm going to kiss the ground, thank Archibello for his outstanding performance, feed him a carrot, and visit brainhealth.gov.
Find out how you can make the most of your brain as you age at brainhealth.gov.
Back on the Florida Roundtable, I'm Bill Mick, along with Congressman Mike Haridopoulos from the 8th District here in Florida. And Mike, as we broke, we were talking about tariffs. And my impression is, watching these things every day, that we've seen unexpected benefits from these tariffs. And there were a lot of questions going into them. Is it going to hurt the economy? Is it going to slow things down? Is it going to cause inflation? How are you reading it from seeing it in D.C.?
Well, as I mentioned, I believe in what we call free trade. It's common sense. The fewer barriers, the better. We have free trade, in essence, within the United States. But sadly, we don't have free trade around the world. We want free and fair trade. Other nations were taxing us or having higher tariff rates than we had for a long time. And we just kind of let it happen. The president said, no, free trade means a level playing field. What I tax you, you'll tax me, and do it in a fair way. And he has really pushed the envelope here. Remember, the markets took a big hit early in his administration back in April. I think we got down to like 37,000 with the Dow. Now it's almost 8,000 points higher as people realize that, one, inflation did not take place, and two, it's a win for the United States when we have a level playing field and we can compete with other countries when they don't overtax us or put new regulations that limit trading opportunities. And so it's a win for America when we have a level playing field. And we also learn, which is good, I think, about the tariff piece onto revenues, is the idea that we learned during COVID that we better not be reliant on countries that don't like us very much. We found out with China. And so we're trying to bring some of these things home, especially some of the essentials, whether it be our drug manufacturers or pharma, and also, of course, the computer chips that are necessary. And if you wanted to buy a car, as you know, it's the computer chip that delayed some of the things you wanted to get done.
Sure.
We need to become more self-reliant on some of those essential matters. And that's what the president has done. Made in America is a good thing. America first is something we all believe in. But in the end, if America is put on a level playing field, we win. We just allowed too much since the end of World War II to allow other nations to put higher taxes on us and kind of let it happen, thinking that might help the other country. That was wrong. The way that you always improve products and provide better services is when you have competition. And I think these tariffs have created a situation where he's not trying to make it for revenue, even though that's happened. He's trying to bring them to the table because they need the American economy more than they need us.
Speaking of bringing them to the table, he brought countries to the table we thought may not arrive. Let's talk about that part for a minute.
Well, look, the latest one's Canada. Remember, Canada was put the bluster up.
And talking they tough.
Folded. Yeah. And you said the EU totally folded. Of course, the UK was the first to come to the page. We're still working on India and China, as we know right now. And one good example here is that and why we don't create or go into some of these deals overseas is, remember, China and India, they're the biggest producers of carbon. You know, everyone talks about it so bad for the environment, multifold over the United States. And if they're allowed to pollute and we're not, they're going to have, again, a competitive advantage over us. We need to have a level playing field, not just on taxes, but also regulatory policy that if you have one company having one set of rules and another when having fewer rules, you're never going to have a fair relationship. And so we are having a real positive thing. And the president proved in this latest situation with Ukraine that the United States is the unquestioned leader of the world. It's very different from a year ago. Mm-hmm. And the chaos that happened over the last 4 years, whether it be in Ukraine, which we're still dealing with, let alone the tragedy in Afghanistan, the tragedy of what happened on October 7th when they attacked the civilians in Israel. And it's just, again, to show that America is going to use its might to for good and to make sure the citizens that they represent are looked out after as opposed to looking out at the world first. We're America first, and I think that's important.
Just to wrap up on tariffs, there have been some ideas floated, the president's even mentioned it, about sending checks to the American people as a result of the revenue you were talking about coming in from these tariffs. Most people I talk to say, let's pay that toward the deficit. Let's get that number knocked out of the way, and then we can look and see what happens down the road.
Yeah, I know it's a tempting thing to give out money. Politicians love to do that. But look, we have a big deficit right now. We need to help that. Luckily, these tariff revenues have helped with that deficit. But the biggest thing we did this year is knowing the big, beautiful bill is we made sure there was not a tax increase. If we did nothing, the average tax increase would have been 23%. And so we said, we're not going to do it. We're going to make sure those 2017 tax cuts are locked in. And we also said, who's been hardest hit in the last last 4 years with higher prices for food, rent, gasoline. Those are people who earn overtime, who earn tips, and especially people on fixed income, meaning people on Social Security. As we provided in the new bill, the new tax cuts were for those people hardest hit. Social Security, tax of tips are eliminated in overtime as well. We thought that was the right thing because that put money back in people's pockets, and that's a good thing for our economy. And the thing that frustrated me more than anything else in the first 8 months here in office, I sat there in the House floor and I heard the Democrats over and over, this is a tax cut for the rich. Must have said it a billion times, okay? Mm-hmm. If I had a dollar
always
for every time.
Always the mantra, it seems.
And Ronald Reagan talked about this back in the 80s. But here's the truth. The tax rate for the rich going into this bill is 37%. The bill keeps it at 37%. No change, no tax cut for the rich. The people that were helped were the people hardest hit the last 4 years. And the other good thing I think about this bill to stimulate the economy is the one where we said to companies, if you make investments in your company, it could be for a new machine, it could be for a truck, who knows what capital equipment I need, instead of writing it off over 5 years, you write it off in 1 year. That's a big deal. And it allows for a lot of capital investment and for companies to make decisions where they know that they can get immediate action on it and they can reinvest in their company as we're trying to reinvest in America.
Have we seen that occur with businesses now?
Well, now that, you know, remember the bill passed July 4th.
Right.
And again, the key to this bill is that by passing it here in July, now you and I as individuals know what our tax rate will be next year. We didn't know that before then.
Right.
And two is the idea that businesses also know how they can do things. They realize that these investments will pay off. So are in the second quarter of this year, we had 3% GNP growth. Okay, if we and with this, I think stimulant, lack of a better word,
sure,
that people are now going to have with confidence, they can go out and know what their tax rate are going to be, and businesses are going to make these investments. I think you're going to see our growth rate around at least 3% for the next 6 months, if not next 18 months, and I think it's going to be beneficial. Yeah, electorally, yes, but more importantly, it's going to put America in a better position, and we're going to have a stronger economy, and that will reduce the deficit. The stronger the economy is doing, the more tax revenues that come in.
Sure.
Let me just add one more thing, if I could. The CBO has talked a lot about this bill, saying this is going to increase the deficit. Okay, that may happen. It may. But here's their math. They said the economy would grow at 1.9%. Remember, before this bill is even passed, it's grown at 3%. That was the quarter before we passed the bill.
Right.
Second quarter, that means April, May, and June. Now we passed the bill in July. If we keep just a 3% growth, that means there will be no deficit increase because
right.
they were, again, their assumption was 1.9%. We're already at 3. I think we'll grow more. And that's why I call them not the CBO, I call them the CBS, because they were off by $1.5 trillion last time with Trump, yeah.
Well, and if my understanding is correct, the CBO has to use current law in making those estimates, not considering any law that's passed in the future that changes that, like the Big Beautiful Bill did. So they're calculating it on old law, not the law that was passed.
It is, and it's frustrating for me. Again, this is where the insiders in Washington frustrate Republicans, because as we found out, people actually work there, overwhelmingly Democrat. And they were wrong by $1.5 trillion on Trump's first bill back in 2017. And they underestimated the cost of some of the big Democrat programs throughout the year. That was the frustration, the partisanship that exists within the deep state, as some people might call it.
Mm-hmm.
So the way I looked at it as a person who actually balanced budgets in Florida is, what were their economic assumptions? And if they're saying it's only a 1.9% economy, that's just wrong. And it's amazing that they could kind of go out there so far on a limb. What we need to do in this economy is grow it and invest in people. And the way you invest in people is let them keep more of the money they earned. And again, that's where I really want to focus on it. What the Democrats were frustrated about in this bill, there was the class warfare saying this is a big tax cut for the rich. I just proved that to be false,
right?
37%. And the other ones that they're fighting for more welfare programs. They're fighting to grow Medicaid. They're fighting to give illegal aliens Medicaid. They were. And they did that throughout their policies. What we said is, let's give the money back to the people who actually earn something. You earn Social Security. That's not given to you. You pay into it your entire working life. You and I are both paying that tax. Second, you earn overtime. You earn tips. That's important. And I think that's how we see the economy as Republicans, that we don't think the government is the solution. Put money back into people's pockets. And I think it's a winning formula.
Yeah, very true. Let me ask you this. Have you ever seen government appear to work as fast as it has in this first 7 months of a Trump administration?
I love it. I mean, I'll tell you what. When you start letting folks go, I mean, remember they fired a lot of people, and they said we're gonna change the size and scope of government. I mean, Elon Musk realized that you don't need so much overhead to run an organization, and that was what happened. A lot of people got put on for political reasons, and they started to look at it and say, how can we run this government more efficiently? That was the beautiful thing about Doge. I would actually want to go a step further than Doge. I think we should put everything online so that everybody can see where the money's being spent, not just the people who work at, quote, Doge. So we can find – I mean, we had some great calls and different shows this week together, and these people would love to put in the work and say, hey, I looked into the budget and I saw this. Can you look more closely at this or that? So we can focus our energy and get rid of that waste, fraud, and abuse and right-size the government. I mean, you think about the things we interact with every day, whether it be FedEx or American Express or Visa. They don't have this huge bureaucracy. They're using AI. They're using computers in a smarter way to more efficiently run their company and also reduce cost. And that's a good thing. And I'll close with this in this part because it's a great premise. When you create a government program, before you can help the first person, you got to build the building. You got to hire the employees. You got to give them benefits. You got to give them computers and all types of things before you help the first person. So always question, should we create a new government program? Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of discussion that I think we're finally happening in Washington. And you're seeing it as to your premise of your question, why you've seen for the first time the government acting in a faster way because these people who worked for a long time didn't have the pressure of getting things done, now realize they might actually lose their job too.
Interesting. Are you finding, you mentioned something that spurred this question for me, are you finding a more engaged electorate now than maybe when you entered the Florida House and then went on to the Florida Senate? Are people paying more attention here and getting engaged?
I think it's wonderful. I think it's a good thing. And look, you have people getting misinformation. And it's my job to tell them, hey, here's the whole story. Make your decision that way. But I love the fact that we have a more engaged public, and it's important that people do engage. I mean, I promote all the time, call our office if you have a question. We do what we got called tele-town halls about every 2 months or so, and that's important because people can actually get a question just like on your show we've done recently, and I give an answer. What I don't like when people get involved is sometimes you have some of these meetings and they just denigrate into absolute chaos.
It's like a Senate hearing.
Yeah.
5 minutes of posturing and maybe a question at the end if you're lucky. No,
I mean, what we really need is a smart way of doing things. Ask questions just like you're doing and get answers and then judge us on those answers as opposed to playing politics back and forth.
Very good. So with the fast pace, we got under 30 seconds here. Speaking of pace, you finding it different than the Florida legislature? Is it easier, harder, quicker?
It's still slower than Tallahassee because you're dealing with the entire government. But the good news is it's more engaged and it's more transparent. And I love the interaction and having a real debate on the floor.
Mike Herodopoulos is with us. We continue in moments on the Florida News Network.
Do you have an invention idea but don't know what to do next? Call InventHelp today. We have representatives nationwide who will explain the InventHelp process step by step. Over 10,000 patents have been secured through InventHelp's patent referral services. The InventHelp data bank includes thousands of companies who have agreed to review new ideas. We've been helping inventors since 1984. Let's help you next. Get started today.
Call us for free information at 1-800-558-5497. Again, 1-800-558-5497.
Nothing's better than taking to Florida's waterways with family and friends. But some boat operators don't realize that bow riding is extremely dangerous. It can lead to tragic accidents if someone falls overboard because of speed or direction changes. Be sure your passengers sit only in manufacturer-designated areas while underway. Their safety is your responsibility. Safe boating is no accident. To learn more, visit the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission at myfwc.com.
Hi, I'm Johnny Erickson Tata. Growing up with a brother with autism, Sarah Crump witnessed firsthand how kids with disabilities felt left out by their peers. It's why at the age of 15, Sarah approached her cheerleading coach with an idea to include girls with disabilities on her school's cheer team. Well, what started out as an inclusive high school cheer team in a small town in Iowa has led to what is now known as Sparkle Effect, a thriving nonprofit with over 180 cheer teams across the United States, bringing students with and without disabilities together through cheerleading. The result? more confidence, higher grades, and better school attendance for kids with disabilities. And for those without a disability, new friends and a greater empathy. You want to learn more? Well, visit disabilitycampaign.org, where we have posted a link to the fabulous work known as The Sparkle Effect.
We're here early before they wake up. We stay late. We stay informed. We invest in the latest technology.
We take the time to train the next generation of doctors and nurses. We work together to make sure we heal their bodies and their minds.
We do this not because it's our job, but because this is about our veterans' lives. This is our mission. More than 300,000 of us working as one, together with families and loved ones. No matter where they live in this country, we'll be there.
We all come together and stand together to serve our veterans. We stand strong, united. Stand with us in caring for our veterans.
Imagine. Imagine being denied an apartment because of your religion, or your race, or because you have children, or a disability.
It's so wrong.
Yes, but who has the power to stop this?
You do. Each of us has the power. The law is on your side. It's illegal for landlords to discriminate because of race, color, religion, sex, national origin, disability, or familial status. If you suspect that you have experienced housing discrimination, file a complaint with HUD immediately so we can investigate it. Fair housing is your right.
Use it.
To learn more, visit hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Or call 1-800-669-9777. 1-800-669-9777. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
We continue on the Florida Roundtable with Representative Mike Karadopoulos out of Florida's 8th Congressional District. And Mike, we were talking about the economy and how things are changing and rather quickly here. Let's talk some domestic issues for a minute. You mentioned bringing manufacturing for microchips and for drugs back into the U.S. And we have conditions that appear to be created for job growth. Are we starting to see the results of that, and what's left to be done here?
Well, I think that we still need to do more. I think that what we have tried to do, it, the best way that we can drive down inflation and to help our economy is by looking at the government and trying to reduce this spending on the side. Remember, they're pushing out a lot of money that could be used for capital expenditures because the government's borrowing so much money. And the way that the president and our party have been pushing, we think growing the economy reduces the deficit over time, and it also invests in people. But there's more to do. I think the other ones, the energy independence issue is an important part of this. You know, we're moving back towards shale production. You're seeing gas prices under $3 a gallon again. And that translates into lower prices at the grocery store, which means lower prices at the restaurants, et cetera. So that's an important element that we need to look at as well. And finally, we need to be at kind of the cutting edge of this economy. We're going to have to look at things like the blockchain or something like a crypto, Bitcoin, all the things people are talking about, because that's a new segment of the economy. And all the investment is happening around the world because the previous administration wouldn't set up basic rules. We finally changed that. So we're going to see a lot of those investment dollars come here. You see the same thing with AI. We need to make big investments there. That's where a lot of things are being done. But it also means when you invest in AI, you need to create a hell of a lot more power. And so that means you're going to see new things like nuclear power come online for the first time in really 30 years.
Well, and the technology's changed. Smaller nuclear plants, even individual to companies or to these AI centers that you're talking about, that they're producing their own energy, not draining the grid that hasn't been upgraded in how long?
100%. You're exactly right. And I like the way you're thinking about this. It's not just one thing. You have to understand the domino effects that might happen. And so, again, those investment dollars are important. And we finally said, you know, after we lived through this, you and I both, Three Mile Island scared the hell out of people, right?
Sure.
And that's the reason only three nuclear plants have been built the last 30 years, where they're all over the place in Europe. And remember,
movie The China Syndrome didn't help.
Oh, no, that's exactly right. And remember, we have nuclear power plants right in our submarines right now that our soldiers live next to.
Absolutely.
So, our sailors in this case. So that's a reality. And so we're going to move in this direction. And remember, the Chinese are producing these. And we have to beat the Chinese, not just in this AI race or this crypto race, but also the space race. All of these things are coming together. And it means you need to have a functioning, smart, business-friendly government. And fortunately, the president understands this. He's a business guy. He understands what it costs to build something. And so that's what he is attempting to do. And ask the question, should the government really be playing a role in some of these different areas? And the oversight that I talked about earlier, that's a very expensive red tape that you're dealing with, whether it be in education or in the business world.
Interesting that you bring that up, because over the last many years, there has been the electric vehicle push subsidized by tax dollars on a technology that's not ready for prime time yet. It could get there, and it may be get. I have friends in the auto industry who tell me it is getting there, and it won't be that long. But right now, we push policies that push these EVs on the American public when they're not necessarily the vehicles that the consumers are wanting or that will serve all of their needs. We have bailed out on some of those policies, even changing policies that impact what you can do with appliances in your home that was government going way over regulating, in my estimation. How are you liking what you see there?
Again, let the market decide. We fought the Cold War for a reason, to get around this idea that just a few people control the economy. And when you subsidize something, it moves. And it's frustrating to see how, again, the market was being manipulated. The government was picking winners and losers. And now by moving away from this direction, you let the businesses decide what's best for the consumer and for their bottom line. That's how the economy truly works. You can't manipulate it. The communists tried. It didn't work. And so I think it's a better way of doing things. And it's not just cars, as you brought up very well. It's also the entire energy grid. Remember, they're making investments in wind farms and solar and so forth, when in some parts of the country it wasn't the best way to do things, but because they're getting all this free money, they decided to go do it.
Mm-hmm.
And they had these
And the carbon footprint stuff was nonsense because of the carbon footprint that was made in producing those wind farms and the like.
Exactly. You have to look at the entire life cycle of something, not just the immediate gratification. I mean, some of these people think that energy comes from the wall. I mean, it's insane. And remember, the Chinese, they don't care about the environment. They're building still coal power plants, right?
Right.
So we need to look at the total life cycle. And remember, we're buying a lot of the solar stuff from China. I mean, this was the game they were playing. We need to look at what's the best way to do things. I think that you're going to see some of these nuclear things come online with the new helium-3 type plants and energy cycle. You're not going to have some of the radiation that was a long term that store underground in places like Nevada.
Right.
That's going away. It's the way we need to think outside the box out of necessity. And when you drive down energy costs, it really frees up the resources where you want to do some things. I mean, think about the most basic way. Don't you hate it? Paying, even if it's $3 a gallon, that you're putting that into your car as opposed to spending it on something you really want in order to get from A to B.
Right.
Or you're putting your if you're an electric car, you plug your thing in, and you're paying for that too. But it was so frustrating watching the liberals thinking that the electric car was the solution at all. You have to look at the entire life cycle. What happens after 7 years and those batteries go bad in the Prius? Where do you put those batteries?
And what's the cost to replace them?
Exactly. And that's it. The life cycle cost is so important. Don't look for immediate gratification.
Speaking of futuristic things, you chair the House Subcommittee on Space, and being from the Space Coast, that had to be a big smile on your face when you landed on that committee and started chairing it. It's big for the future of Florida. Tell me what's going on in space right now.
Well, we are winning. I mean, just remember a few years ago, actually when I was still in the state Senate, we were relying on the Russians to get to our own space station.
That's
after we
true.
Beat them in the space race. And now we are launching rockets, as you know, every 2 or 3 days right in our backyard.
Sometimes multiples in a day, yeah.
Was that the best? Yeah. And so that said, remember, most of these are satellites going up. And, of course, that's important for not only telecommunications, but the real reason why we have to win the space race is for national security. It is essential that we have those GPS satellites around so that we know where our troops are and also where the bad guys are. And the Chinese are playing engineering all kinds of nefarious games in space. They're not only stealing our technology, as you know they do, but they're also doing things like collisions in space because they want to destroy our communications network. Mm-hmm. They're trying to jam our satellites all the time. They're trying all these, even theoretically, there could be some type of lasers up in space. We have to win the space race for national security, and it also helps our economy with telecommunications and the way that we live today. But that is essential. So what have we done? Well, one is we put $10 billion additional dollars into NASA in this big, beautiful bill. We know that that's part of winning this space race. Yes, we want to go to the moon. That's nice. But it's also, again, keeping that military advantage. Beyond that, we're also making it more commercial, meaning we have SpaceX, Airbus, Blue Origin right in our backyard. Right. These are high-paying jobs. When I leave the interview we're having today, I'm going to a high school called O'Galley High School, and this is where kids who don't choose to go to college can spend a year or two in the program and then go to work at SpaceX, Blue Origin, Airbus, making $75,000 and benefits on top of it right out of high school. That's what's happening in our backyard.
That's phenomenal.
Because of this type of thing. So that's the investment we're making, and we know in the end it's going to be a commercial venture. There'll always be NASA, don't get me wrong, but the more we can make that NASA organization run like a business, the better, as long as we keep our basic safety components there.
Yeah, that's fantastic and great to hear. I want to go into some domestic issues and some international stuff in the time we've got remaining today. You've had recently a takeover of Washington, D.C. of sorts with federalizing law enforcement. It's a federal district. I see that as reasonable. And we seem to have seen results in the first week or two of that. Give me your view on it from D.C. You're living there.
Yeah, I'm live there. And look, it's some parts of town are simply unsafe. A lot of places are unsavory in the sense you have a lot of homeless around. And it makes you feel uncomfortable, to say the least. But the people who are really in jeopardy in Washington, D.C. are not people in the Congress or people in the higher income areas. It's the folks who are everyday folks in D.C., and they're simply not enforcing the laws. The policemen will go out there and arrest the bad guys, and the next day, or maybe sometimes the same day, they're back on the streets, even when they commit gun crimes.
These no-bail policies are nuts.
They're nuts. And also the bad policy, this is it's the cops are doing their job. It's the judges and the city council that's not. Let me give you two examples. One is they treat a 24-year-old like a juvenile. I mean, they get out right away. You're wow. most likely to be hijacked in a car, carjacked today by a 14-year-old. That's the most likely because they know they won't go to jail. And the second one is between 2018 and 2022, there are over 5,500 gun cases in Washington, D.C. Only 1% of the people who committed gun crimes or had guns illegally went to jail. They're for gun control, but they don't actually enforce. And so what do these people do who are criminals? They prey on their own, and that's why you have so much chaos in D.C., and I'm so glad the president stepped up there.
Any chance that the rumbles about him moving this into other cities is anywhere near reasonable? I would see that almost as an overextension of federal authority in a Chicago or a L.A., other than protecting federal resources there.
Yeah, I think it's a fair debate to have. I hope it puts pressure on these big cities that are failing their own citizens. And remember, these policies, these sanctuary policies, are impacting other states, as we just saw with that horrible truck accident here in Florida.
We'll talk immigration and international relations as we continue on the Florida Roundtable right here on the Florida News Network.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-961-1527. That's 800-961-1527. 800-961-1527.
You work hard to provide a better life for your family. The only problem is that you now have a tax bill that you can't afford to pay. The IRS is now threatening to garnish your wages and put a levy on your bank account. You can't ignore the IRS. They won't go away on their own. You need help. and you need it now. Call the Tax Pros at United Tax Fix today. Call 800-762-2768. That's 800-762-2768.
In the U.S., motor vehicle crashes remain a leading cause of death among children. In Florida, children ages 5 and under must be properly secured in a child restraint device. Choosing the correct seat with proper installation and usage can save lives. Make your child's safety your priority. It's the law. Learn more at flhsmv.gov/child safety. That's flhsmv.gov. A message from the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles.
Hello, I'm Hector Elizondo, Emmy Award-winning actor, and I want to talk to you about getting older. My body hurts, my joints ache, and sometimes I forget.
I forget that doing all your own scenes for a movie isn't always the best decision, especially when you're galloping side saddle down a countryside road on a horse named Archibello, who seems to have only one speed, high. And pulling on his reins only seems to encourage him to go even faster. So, of course, my body hurts and my joints ache, but it's not because of my age. It's because I'm living my life. Oh, Archibello!
Don't let life pass you by. Take care of your brain health. It may just help you stay on top of your game.
As soon as this scene wraps, I'm going to kiss the ground, thank Archibello for his outstanding performance, feed him a carrot, and visit brainhealth.gov.
Find out how you can make the most of your brain as you age at brainhealth.gov.
Back on the Florida Roundtable with Congressman Mike Caradopoulos, I'm Bill Mick. If you've missed any of the interview, the podcast for the Florida Roundtable, top of the page at billmick.com. Mike, domestic issues, you mentioned immigration and sanctuary cities. We've seen major changes and quick changes as far as immigration goes. Give me your take.
Well, it's a huge win. I mean, the number one issue I heard in the campaign trail as I got back into politics was the border. People are fed up. People are coming here, not only illegally, but criminal elements coming in. We've seen some of the destruction, not only of private property, but sadly murders, rapes, etc. The president has said enough is enough. And we have solved this border crisis very quickly. It didn't take new laws. It simply took enforcing the current law and also using our U.S. military at the border. The number of crossings are down 99%. We're deporting a lot of these criminals who came here, not just breaking the law coming here, but now here in the states. And they were protected by sanctuary cities. That's just a fact. And a lot of the sheriffs and police officers told me they're frustrated. When they arrest some of these people, they'd be let go by ICE or there was no place to detain them, thus Alligator Alcatraz down in South Florida. They said, we're going to – I applaud the governor for trying to do something to take on a real issue. And remember, who is disproportionately hit by crime? It's not the rich guys. It's the middle class and the people in the inner city oftentimes who are taken advantage of or robbed or even worse. And their own elected officials will let them go out on jail quickly or protect them in the, quote, sanctuary cities. Mm-hmm. That's just not – this is not a reality. I mean, again, I'm a history professor, as you know. Life, liberty, property are the basics of government, why you even form a government. And when you fail your own citizens like that, it's unacceptable.
And we've had recently, when it comes to Alligator Alcatraz, a federal judge rule because of environmental issues that they have to stop building and dismantle what they've done. That's being appealed. I'll look for that to be overturned. But it's another example of what this Trump administration has faced throughout its existence.
Remember, they did the same thing on the border issue in his first term. They used the judges to stop the construction of the wall and common sense policies. And you saw the chaos that followed in the Biden years. These are rogue liberal judges. They call it judge shopping. They find the most liberal judge they can find. They make their case, and they usually win initially. But as you've seen, whether it be the latest $500 million judgment against the president or otherwise, when it really gets to the real courts, as I would say, they get struck down. But these people are impediments. And ironically, here's the thing that always blows my mind. The Democrats are always like, democracy, democracy. Well, then why are you allowing a single federal judge to make policy? That's your solution to the lack of democracy. It's the hypocrisy 101. We can get into all kinds of things with gerrymandering and guns and school choice. But where I think the Democrats have lost credibility is just that. They say one thing, do another. That's where they're losing their credibility.
There needs to be common ground where everybody has the best interest of the country at heart.
Yeah.
And boy, that's another show we could get into. Let's talk foreign affairs for just a minute or two. We've seen what's gone on with Israel and Iran and U.S. intervention or assistance to Israel there. And just in the last few weeks, we've seen the president have a summit in Alaska with Vladimir Putin, meet the following week with European leaders, including Volodymyr Zelensky from Ukraine. We're seeing progress where it was at a stalemate before as far as getting any move toward any peace there.
Look, the president is literally the peace president. I mean, he's already nailed down six deals in his first 8 months in office. Hopefully, they'll solve this problem with the Ukraine as well. But he is a person who hates war, which we all should. But he also stands up for people who are doing the right thing. So the president has proven that we are the epicenter of the world once again. We're not backseat drivers like we've been the last 4 years. We are leading, and we are really making the pace that America is the place where you solve problems. And I'm so glad to see all those European leaders there, literally, as he was holding court in the Oval Office. It's pretty remarkable. But look, he's trying to strike a deal. And clearly, the previous administration was just funding war. We, of course, spent a lot of money to help Ukraine. But we want to end wars, especially when they're over territorial things, nothing of the consequence like we saw during World War II.
As we look at this, do you find that, does it look like Vladimir Putin is going to be responsive here? He appeared it in Alaska, but then he strikes Ukraine pretty much the next day.
Well, look, Putin's a cagey character. He's survived all these years. That's why the president is to be the best adversary for him right now.
And we wrap it up in moments. Stay with us.
Do you have an invention idea but don't know what to do next? Call InventHelp today. We have representatives nationwide who will explain the InventHelp process step by step. Over 10,000 patents have been secured through InventHelp's patent referral services. The InventHelp data bank includes thousands of companies who have agreed to review new ideas. We've been helping inventors since 1984. Let's help you next. Get started today.
Call us for free information at 1-800-558-5497. Again, 1-800-558-5497.
Florida is kayaking country. Kayaks are a great vessel for exploring the state's beautiful waterways. But it's important to be prepared for the journey, regardless of your experience level. Get your boater education and learn about you and your craft's abilities. It'll help you have a safer, more enjoyable time on the water. Before you go, know your limits and always wear your life jacket. Safe boating is no accident. To learn more, visit the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission at myfwc.com.
School is back in session, Florida. With precious cargo on board, school buses need extra care from motorists. Florida drivers are reminded to drive carefully, obey all speed limits, and never use their phone while driving in a school zone and around school buses. Learn more at flhsmv.gov/child safety. That's flhsmv.gov/child safety. A message from the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles.
An official message from Medicare.
I'm saving money on my Medicare prescriptions. Maybe you can save too. With Medicare's Extra Help program, my premium is zero and my out-of-pocket costs are low. Who should apply? Single people making less than $24,000 a year or married couples who make less than $32,000. Even if you don't think you qualify, it pays to find out.
Go to ssa.gov/extrahelp. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Shortness of breath, patient's confused, temp 102.
He just had an infection. What's going on?
He's becoming septic.
Antibiotics started. Bed ready, let's move him.
Infections can lead to a deadly chain reaction in your body called sepsis. Very quickly, sepsis can cause tissue damage, organ failure, and even death. If you know the risks, can spot the symptoms, and act fast, then you can get ahead of sepsis. Learn more at cdc.gov/sepsis.
My muscles ached. I was tired all the time.
My son had a full-blown asthma attack. It came out of nowhere.
The unsettling thing about some symptoms is
I had a fever and these terrible headaches.
You don't always know what's causing them.
It was Lyme disease from a tick bite.
I had Zika virus from a mosquito.
He had a reaction to cockroach allergens.
Threats to your health can come from unexpected places. Get the facts. Visit pestworld.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association.
Wrapping up our hour with Congressman Mike Karadopoulos here on the Florida Roundtable. Thank you for spending your time with us here on the Florida News Network. Again, anything you missed, pick it up in the podcast section, top of the page there at BillMick.com. Mike, we saw a move by the state of Texas last week where their House and then their Senate passed new congressional districts at an unusual time. Normally that's done in most states right after the census is done. Not a lot of tampering with that until the next census is completed. California's responded. Gavin Newsom has signed a bill that will send the issue of redistricting to the people of California to vote on because of the way their laws are structured. Tell me your views on this stuff. I mean, you just got into this congressional seat. Now they're going to change the size or shape of it, and you have to go talk to new people, whatever.
Well, remember where this all started. It started in New York when they tried to manipulate the seats in the last election cycle. And if you look at the maps around the country, the Democrats are much better at, quote, gerrymandering than the Republicans are. I mean, just look at the place they fled to from Texas. They went to Illinois. If you look at that map, it's a joke.
I saw that.
And whereas you look at our maps, you look like boxes. I mean, we actually are pretty responsible in that way. And California's already malapportioned. And now they're trying to do even more. But it's the games they play. And I think I've shared with you by text some of the maps that the professionals are like, look, if you go to full-scale war in these reapportionment fights, the Republicans win because the Democrats have already done a really good job.
So is there anything to keep the Republicans from doing it? Because let's face it, we've got our own political creatures in that world too.
We do. And look, a turnabout is fair play, I guess you have to say at this point. And this is the reality of modern politics. The guys in Texas said we can do it better and we're going to push it. I don't know what's going to happen in California. But if that domino continues, it's the Republicans' favor because we have more seats to pick up in states like Massachusetts, let alone in a southern state like Alabama, where there's two seats that could easily go Republican if you adjust them in the slightest way.
There are rumbles that Governor DeSantis would like to do this, at least in South Florida. Are you reading any tea leaves on what may happen here?
Look, the governor is a very effective leader, and if he wants to do it, I think he's got a great shot at doing it. That'll be up to the legislature in the end to adjust the congressional seats or not. My job every day is just go to work and do the thing. I hope it all, quote, works out. I hope California fails. Candidly, I hope Texas wins. I'm a partisan, I admit it. But that said, I think it's best when we wait every 10 years to do it, and I hope they do the census in a better way. Remember, the census came out just a couple weeks ago and said, we screwed up.
Yeah,
they counted people who should not have been counted.
And they do that reevaluation every time they do one in the hopes of improving their methodology.
But it costs
like
Florida, as you know. We lost at least one seat because the way they manipulated things is very frustrating.
Yeah, that's very true. And also there's the issue of citizenship and who counts in the census, right? Is there a chance of that being restructured? Is it written in law or is that in policy?
Well, I think that they try to count everyone who's there. But look, it's just like you can't count Florida's population if a guy's here as a tourist. You shouldn't be counting an illegal alien, not a worry list.
Right. That's very true. Mike, just a brief outlook. We got about 30 seconds for what you see for this Congress as we march to the end of the year.
Well, we still have a ton of work to do. We need to reduce the cost of living. And the way you do is by, of course, reducing taxes like we did. We also have to reduce energy costs in a big way, especially as you and I talked about earlier with the AI issue, the need for additional energy. There'll be a lot of pressure on prices. And we also need to, again, you look at the DOGE opportunities. We have to reduce this wasteful spending so that people gain confidence again in government. And a lot of us, and me included, we need to stay away from some of the hyper-partisanship. We need to find where we can work together, like on space and transportation. Those should be issues Republicans and Democrats should work together on. We're going to always fight about taxes and other things, but we need to have a better conversation, and that's why I love shows like yours. They're real questions. We try to give real answers.
Mike Haridopoulos, thank you for the time. Don't make it the last time you're on the Florida Roundtable.
Thanks so much. Great to see you, Bill.
Thanks to you for joining us, and we will be back next week on the Roundtable here on the Florida News Network.
You've been listening to the Florida Roundtable with Bill Mick on News and Public Affairs presentation of the Florida News Network. The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of this station management, owners, or sponsors. For questions or concerns, contact Florida Roundtable at fnnonline.net.